thank you for the days, those endless days, those sacred days you gave me. I'm thinking of the days, I won't forget a single day, believe me.
A good education is one of the most important building blocks for our future. And while we can learn a great deal from our family and friends, a successful education plays a major part in our development. A school is not just a building, but a place where we begin to grow, nurture new friendships, and develop new skills that we will need for life beyond the school gates. The Royal Blind School in Edinburgh is dedicated to the education and personal development of students with visual impairments and those with more complex needs. Today we are going to learn a little bit more about the school, its pupils, its dedicated staff and their ethos of delivering the best possible bespoke curriculum for the students. It also happens to be one of the oldest establishments of its type in the world, as head teacher Elaine Brackenridge now explains.
Back to 1793, when the Royal Blind School, as we know it now, was established and became the world's third foundation devoted to the welfare for blind people. The Edinburgh Asylum for the Relief of the Blind was founded by the Reverend Dr. David Johnson, Dr. Thomas Blacklock and Mr. David Miller. Moving forward to 1875 saw the opening of new premises at Craigmillar Park. It was a big castle-like building, mainly for children who were blind, and these children would have stayed on campus. So two floors of the castle building, one was called Isla, one was called Tyree. These floors had bedrooms with bathrooms off, and there was a dormitory for younger children. In recent years, following on from the Warnock Report in 1978, came the idea of integration for people with vision impairment and those with other disabilities. And that's something that we in the Royal Blind School wholeheartedly support. We absolutely think it's great if a young person can succeed and become a confident individual within their local mainstream school. However, that's not always possible, and that's the reason why we need a spectrum of provision, and we continue to move forward in the Royal Blind School, facilitating inclusion and also providing that more specialised curriculum to enhance learning across a holistic view. So taking the educational attainment and ensuring that children reach their potential academically, whilst at the same time recognising the independent skills and being mobile and having independence as an adult, is extremely important. So for me, there is no point in someone being able to do algebra if they can't pour a cup of tea or find the food on their plate using a knife and fork like any other adult. In July 2017, the Royal Blind School was successful in tendering to deliver the peripatetic service in East Lothian Council. That means that teachers within the Royal Blind School go out to mainstream schools across East Lothian Council to work with pupils, to work with staff in the schools, to work with teachers, to facilitate inclusion, to ensure that the correct resources are available, to help people with teaching strategies, to facilitate the teaching of Braille, to help staff understand the importance of the children who are visually impaired having access to the curriculum at the same point of delivery as their peers. Children who are severely sight impaired should be able to access PE, extracurricular activities, woodwork, home economics, as well as all the social subjects, and these can all be made accessible for the child.
A long and proud history indeed, but what about introducing prospective students and parents to the school, its modern facilities and various outreach programmes?
On a Friday morning, we offer a free playgroup meeting new babies, toddlers and preschoolers. We have our school from primary one to primary seven and then first year to sixth year. However, many of our pupils actually require an extra year at school, and some even would like a further year again, because what we're finding is there is a gap for some young people who have severe sight impairment and additional support needs. So what happens is they're maybe not ready for college, not ready at the moment for university, although they may be in the future. They've not secured a job and there's just no place for them to go. And we have been approached by local authorities and the pupils and the parents to see if we can keep the young people for a further year. And we have been able to do that. And it's not just about the Royal Blind School, it is about the young people of Scotland and their needs being met, and we would support that throughout the length and breadth of the country.
A very proud Elaine Breckenridge, who's the school's head teacher. We'll also be hearing from some of the students, some of whom live on the modern campus, to find out what they think about studying at the Royal Blind School. We'll start with Stephen, who started his journey in mainstream education.
I first came here 6 years ago, and coming from like a 30 pupil class to, I think the biggest class was 5 people. If you were at mainstream, you would be left behind. You wouldn't have as much attention. Here, you have one-to-one, and you can't hide either. In a sense, it's kind of a good thing, because you can't slack behind. But in another sense, it's like, some days it's like, I really want to hide. I think it was like 3 years ago, I really wanted to go to mainstream. Because I think here as well, if you like first came into it, it isn't really the environment that you want to be in, because you have like kids hooked up to machines, mm-hmm. people having seizures. And it's like, like for me, I kind of like sort of let go that I'm going to a special school.
So the way students are supported, encouraged and educated seems to help them get over those outdated and inaccurate stereotypes that go along with attending a specialist school. But what about the future? What will Stephen's next steps be?
Because I play the piano and flute. And when I first came here, I wasn't interested in music at all. Then the music teacher like introduced me to it, and it was like, I really like this. I'm able now to play in orchestras. My ideal one, but it's really hard to get into, is going to the Royal Conservatoire and studying classical music.
And good luck to Stephen with his dream of attending the Royal Conservatoire. Now, for several decades, technology has played a huge part in opening up the world for blind and partially sighted people of all ages. And the school uses a wide range of ICT, or information and communication technologies, to help students with their coursework and their social interactions. So work, rest and play, if you will. Geoffrey Levin is a computing and business education teacher and told me about some of the specialist bespoke technology students can get access to.
The main assistive technology we use for pupils using a PC is a screen reader called JAWS, and that allows them to access all the features of the PC using a keyboard. We also use a program called Supernova for pupils that are low vision users, and that's magnification software that allows the screen to be magnified. We have a Brailleant, which is a braille display, and it allows people to use braille and access the PC while using the braille display. Not just typing, but also navigating through the desktop, opening the internet, and reading internet pages that would come up the braille display. So the braille display is actually quite popular with a lot of the pupils because it brings together the braille and the PC. It's kind of, they complement each other. And also we have quite expensive piece of equipment, the Braille Note Touch. It's like a tablet with a braille display connected to it, and allows pupils to access the internet, word process, emails, apps on the and the Braille Note Touch, like, you know, Google Play apps. And again, they would work or sync with the braille display on that piece of equipment.
In the 21st century, more and more off-the-shelf products are already preloaded with assistive technology support. That could be a magnification package to enlarge text and images, change the brightness and contrast of a screen, or perhaps screen reading technology that can read aloud what you can see on a screen. And they can provide students with all the essentials they need for study and leisure. So it would be fair to say that bespoke and off-the-shelf technology can be used by almost anyone with a visual impairment with the right training.
We also have iPads, which we tend to use more for pupils who have complex needs. Like, there's many apps on that are like fun apps or like interactive apps with sound and touch, such as firework apps and stuff. The iPad's also used for making videos and recording. I emphasise accessing the PC with JAWS and getting up to a pretty standard pretty close to what a sighted user would be able to use in terms of saving files, opening files, searching the internet. We've got a pupil here who's will be going on to university or college next year, and we're doing quite a lot with him, like internet research, copying sections of an internet page into a Word document, and all of that can be done using JAWS. So certainly some of our top end users are using it to quite a reasonable level. It's quite important to keep emphasizing Braille, to the point that I wouldn't want the technology to take over completely, but I think some of the kids are feeling a lot more confident in their ability to research information themselves and use various apps. And also, I mean, you see many of them actually using their mobile phones independently, using like the voiceover features in the mobile phones, particularly in the iPhone. Actually, for visually impaired pupils, I would say that it's quite important, this technology, because it's probably allowing them a level of independence to access information and to carry out things that perhaps in the past they might be dependent on help for.
That's computing and business education teacher Geoffrey Levin. Now, the drive that students have to progress beyond the school system have to be nurtured and supported so they're prepared for life beyond the gates. It can be a daunting prospect for a young visually impaired person to imagine how they will cope with going to college, going to university, or even into the world of work. But that is where the school's highly specialised team of very dedicated staff combine their skills and experience to help map out the correct pathway and provide them with the tools they will need. Here's Deputy Head Teacher Dominic Everett.
I'm a great believer that the staff here within the Royal Blind School on a daily basis come to serve the pupils. It's not just a job, it's a way of life, and we make sure that we, in everything we do, maximise the potential of our pupils. If our young people are to be successful adults, if they are to go out and thrive, have good employability opportunities, etc., it's really important that we get habilitation right. We at the Royal Blind School take habilitation very, very seriously. We have three specialists who work on a daily basis with our young people. They look at independent living skills, daily living skills, independent travel and mobility, etc., because it's all very well young people having wonderful qualifications and going to college, university, or be successful in the workplace, but they've got to be able to navigate from A to B. They've got to be able to have the social skills to engage with those around them. And that's the only way they were ever going to tackle this issue of high levels of unemployment amongst blind and partially sighted adults. So we try to work with our young people, make sure that they feel confident within themselves, make sure that they know and understand their own visual ability, or if they're totally blind, that they have the appropriate blind methods so that they can go out and compete in the workplace and be successful adults. That's what we believe in at Royal Blind School.
Although there is a drive to have more visually impaired students attend a mainstream school, that doesn't always work in the best interests of the child. The Royal Blind School doesn't just look at students' educational, rehabilitation or habilitation needs. Sometimes that support has to be on an emotional level, and the team use a holistic approach to help those who are struggling in the mainstream. And that may mean recommending that they leave their current school to attend in-house permanently, or perhaps on a short-term basis instead.
I also work alongside other staff here within the school to engage with local authorities where it's been decided that a young person's to come to the Royal Blind School. Inclusion works extremely well for many children, but for many it doesn't. And often, unfortunately, we get children who are broken emotionally, who don't have the ability to manage within a mainstream environment. That's unfortunate, because then what we have to do is perhaps fix those children as best we possibly can. We feel much better if we were able to engage effectively with local authorities to identify children at an early stage of intervention where mainstream is not working, so that we can perhaps, even temporarily, provide support to them. And then work with them here within the blind school for them to perhaps go back into a mainstream environment further down the line. To me, that's a wonderful way forward. However, that's often not the case. And what we often get is children who really need a very intensive level of support practically in terms of accessing the curriculum. Maybe they don't have primary learning mediums, so they don't know if Braille is the way forward, large print, the use of technology, etc., assistive technology. Often those are lacking. So what we try to do is intervene and provide that level of skills development, and then, as I say, go on into successful adulthood.
Deputy head teacher Dominic Everett there. And as Dominic says, many of the pupils require extra support to help them deal with the myriad of emotions related to sight loss that can have a negative impact on all aspects of their lives. Carolyn Day is a counsellor at the school and explains how she helps them on the path to better understand their place in life and develop mechanisms that can dramatically improve their quality of life.
It's really just giving them one-to-one emotional support, helping them to deal with the feelings and the emotional side of things that come with being here at the Royal Blind School. Particularly the boys that I work with, it's visual impairment that they have, but they're mentally fine and sometimes not feeling that they just quite fit. There's children that I work with, they haven't always been blind, so this is a new thing that they're getting used to. So I'm working through loss, trauma with them to help them deal with the changes that it's brought to them. Also working with children that have been blind all their life, but it's getting them more confidence emotionally, because it's, how am I going to cope? How will people see me? So it's kind of working through all of that thought process to get them to kind of gain confidence in themselves. How I deal with that is just giving them one-on-one time, and it's person-centred. So it's really a listening and talking therapy and reflecting back on their emotions and how they're feeling in a non-judgmental way. So just getting them to think out loud makes them see other ways forward rather than it going around in their head. It can kind of make them feel more secure in their emotions.
With this specialist intervention, has Carolyn seen improvements in the pupils' confidence and their outlook?
Through my time doing the counselling support in the school, I definitely have seen a change in the children. They've expressed themselves the change, which is great, but also the teachers have expressed that they've seen a difference in the children. They've seen them being more upbeat in themselves, and actually making the step of going to a mainstream school once a week, but also taking the step of actually going and visiting a university. And they've been very confident in that and actually really excited, whereas before, when we look back on it, when we started, you know, a few months ago, they were really, really nervous about it.
That's Councillor Carolyn Day, and her support really does make a difference to the pupils by giving them tailored tools and techniques to help them cope with living with sight loss. Lewis tells us what a difference the sessions have made to him.
I've been through some issues in the past, and it's just brilliant to talk to Carolyn, the counsellor, because it's somebody who's neutral to the situation, someone who's completely independent, and she listens, and you get good advice as well. So it's a way to offload if you feel as though you're getting a bit stressed out. I react to things differently now. So where maybe it used to be that I would just give in to anything, whereas if now, if I feel that I'm in the right, actually, I can stand up for myself a wee bit more. And also, if I'm going through a difficult time, there's more strategies I can take to unwind from it through the advice given to me by Carla. So it's really good that way. It's helped me to get along, and I'm absolutely loving it. I mean, I actually think that if I didn't come here, I would be really struck. If I'd gone to university this year without anything here, I think I would have dropped out by now, and that's honest.
Lewis initially attended a mainstream school in Annan, that's near the Scottish borders. So what did he make of his time there?
It was good for your academic side, but what it lacked was like help with life skills. So cooking, cleaning, because they didn't have training to teach that kind of thing. And because I was different, I didn't really have many friends, whereas if here there's a lot more friends, and I get involved in more social groups now, like judo and swimming and scouts, so there's a lot more here compared to the mainstream, so it's brilliant to be here.
Things have certainly changed considerably for Lewis since he began attending the Royal Blind School. So what are some of his favourite subjects?
Well, politics is up there because it interests me. Home economics is good because it's giving me help with cooking. You know, I get to learn how to cook more and use like sharp knives and things. I mean, when I first came here, I couldn't do that really at all. The other one is craft design technology, CDT, because it's something, you know, you just never know if you might need a little bit of DIY in the future. So it could come in as a handy skill, and it's really enjoyable as well. It's something a bit different from, you know, you're writing things down and taking notes. It's something more practical, so it's fun as well as interesting and possibly something I might need in future life.
There is no doubt Lewis is definitely thriving at the campus with the help of the staff and that holistic approach to students' needs. But what about his thoughts beyond the gates?
I want to be able to live on my own. I eventually want to go to Stirling University to study, so I want to be able to live independently so that I can live in the university accommodation and look after myself.
And we wish Lewis all the very best, and who knows, he may end up representing some of us as a councillor or a member of parliament. Now, one of the subjects that Lewis told us he really enjoyed was CDT, or Craft and Design Technology. Ian Bell is the teacher who gives pupils that practical experience.
Basically, I come in here 3 days a week and I try to give as many of the pupils at the school an experience of practical subjects. In mainstream, craft design and technology would be graphic communication, engineering science and the practical skills. However, in the Royal Blind School, I spent most of my time doing practical work. So between National 1 and National 4 qualifications, I tried to get as many pupils as I can through a national qualification. At National 1, obviously it's a fairly basic level, but it gives the pupils the opportunity to work with various materials like wood, plastic, bit of metal. Progressing up to National 4, where it's the SQA, that's the Scottish Examination Board, they lay down the tasks that the pupils have to fulfil. The difference in this school compared to mainstream is I may only have two pupils or three pupils all to myself, whereas in mainstream I would have 20 pupils. So I can spend more time on a one-to-one and make sure at the end of the 1 year or the 2 year that I take to do the course, they gain success. What I would try to do is to put any student that comes into class at ease sitting at a bench. In mainstream, you would stand. In here, we'd sit down. If they have a classroom assistant with them, you work as a three, where it's all about tactile working safely with any tools. The level of work to a machine is somewhat reduced, although I do allow the older ones the opportunity to use the sanding machine, but it's usually hand over hand where I basically guide. So in the workshop situation, it's putting them at ease in that environment. The noises are different, the smells are different, but try to keep it all very peaceful and calm. So from the very young ones, it's all about just keeping the atmosphere conducive to getting some pleasure and enjoyment in a different environment.
Ah, brings back memories of noisy sanders, drills, and of course the smell of varnish on wood. Now, chatting to the pupils and staff really gave me a better understanding of the school and its determination to give all its students, no matter what their abilities or disabilities may be, the best possible experience and opportunities. Deputy Head Teacher Angela Russell tells us more about the approach taken to develop the students' skills and their aspirations.
All of our children and young people within the Royal Blind School follow Curriculum for Excellence, just like other pupils in Scotland. But when it comes to the senior phase, that's from S4 to S6, it's my job to interview all the young people and to prepare an individualised and bespoke timetable so that it builds upon their own interests, their strengths, their skills and their talents. But for us at the Royal Blind School, it's not just academic excellence that's important, but also equally important is what we would refer to as an enhanced curriculum. And that enhanced curriculum involves, where it's appropriate, for some of our young people to learn Braille, independent life skills, preparing meals for themselves when they go off to university, for example, or college. Also, they'd be involved in habilitation lessons where they would learn about mobility and orientation and what it's like going out into the local community on a daily basis. Some of our children and young people will require input from specialist therapists. So, for example, they may have support from physiotherapists in our hydro pool. They may have support from a speech and language therapist or an occupational therapist. And these we consider to be integrated into the learning that takes place within the classroom. We're very proud in the Royal Blind School of our interdisciplinary learning programme for a large number of our young people across the whole school. And that offers opportunities, learning opportunities, which are integrated into our learning approaches. So some of our young people may be involved in visiting our allotment, where they would learn about how to grow vegetables, flowers. Some of these are brought back to the school and used in our own kitchens. They might be exploring the environment surrounding the school. These are combined learning experiences which provide a holistic approach to those learning opportunities involving everybody in the school. Some of our young people may go on to college, some of our young people may go on to university, and some of our young people may go straight into work. So we try to support them as best we can by offering them opportunities in the senior phase of their secondary school education to go out and do work experience, to be involved and engaged in work experience, and get that real-life experience of what it's like to get up in the morning, get themselves ready for work, which is very, very different from getting themselves ready for school. We have involvement with Skills Development Scotland, and it's about preparing the young people so that they are fully engaged and fully involved, and they will learn in their work experience. But also, we would hope that employers would learn from our young people too about what it's like to have someone who is visually impaired in their workplace.
That's Deputy Head Teacher Angela Russell. Now, as we heard earlier, some pupils come to the school after having very negative experiences within a mainstream education environment. Amy from Beath was one of those.
I couldn't do much. I just needed a lot of help at that point. People are not being nice to me, making fun of me and calling me names.
Unfortunately, Amy's experiences aren't that unique, but after coming to the Royal Blind School, her desire to make new friends and to learn more is undoubtable. So what classes does she enjoy?
I like Braille, Maths, English, French. I like all of the subjects. I like science. I got to have new friends and I got to talk to more people. It's just really fun and I'm really enjoying it.
But it's not all about classwork. The pupils are encouraged to take up hobbies and join clubs, both on and off campus.
Well, I've learned to swim. I'm doing really good at it. So last time I went to Gaydamade, it was a bottle and I got to put different things in it. It was a shaker. And then I did some dancing. I played about with musical instruments. I like all music.
And that love of music goes beyond playing instruments and listening to YouTube. Amy is now a member of an Edinburgh-based choir, and it's not a small one either.
There's 125 people. I get to sing and I get to go after school on a Monday.
And let's face it, who wouldn't want to get out of school on a Monday afternoon? So next stop, Britain's Got Talent, possibly, Amy? It's clearer to see how the Royal Blind School can drastically improve life for its students. But who would be one of the first points of contact for parents or guardians who may want advice on their child's educational and emotional development? Jan McDevitt is a key link to the school and its community support service.
I would often be involved in taking initial calls or notes of interest, letting people see around the school, see the sort of work that we do, sometimes supporting parents to make connections within their own local schools and their own local authorities to make sure there's not other ways of making things work. And pupils come into us for all different reasons. Quite a number of our pupils at the moment are coming in through our 52-week placement with residential as a family support, and because they're there, then the school's part of the package that they're taking. Also through the playgroup, we have young people coming in through that. So my role would be very much about supporting the parents, talking them through the process, letting them see around the school, talking about the sort of things that we can be doing to help, but also making sure we still have the connections and links with that young person's local authority, local community, so that they're not coming here and being away from their own environment.
Jan McDevitt there, and later head teacher Elaine Brackenridge will give details on how to get in touch with the school if you'd like some more information. Now, the school provides places for children with the whole range of complex needs, so not just sight loss. This means the teaching staff are further complemented by a variety of health therapy specialists, including counsellors and physiotherapists. Nicola Trainer is an OT, or occupational therapist.
Our role in the school is to focus on helping the young people with independence in their occupations, whether that is play or learning or their activities of daily living. We can be down in house first thing in the morning, helping young person make their breakfast, helping them with strategies to dress independently, and then we can be up in school using our smart platform, which is a clever piece of technology that allows us to convert any chair or wheelchair into a power chair that we can then use various settings so that the young person can operate it using a single switch or a joystick. There's a stripe that goes along the carpet on the school floor, and our smart chair can also follow that stripe on the floor.
Nicola Trainer explaining a little bit about her work and highlighting the fact that there are pupils with a range of mobility problems as well as visual ones. Another important team member is Sarah Fleming, who's a physiotherapist.
Our role here as a physiotherapist is to look at the sensory motor development of the children to enhance their mobility. Some of the children who are on our caseload have just minor physical difficulties, so they're independently mobile, and we're looking at things like maximising their fitness and working closely with the PE staff, looking at their core stability and their flexibility. And then some of the young people have more physical disabilities and kind of a global developmental delay or a wheelchair dependent. And we work closely with the education staff looking at positioning programmes so that we can facilitate how they participate in class, making sure that they're positioned well so we manage any deformities or kind of scoliosis in their back. And we also work in the hydrotherapy pool and we've got rebound or trampolining as well.
Did I just hear pool mentioned?
The pool is kind of the temperature of a bath. When the young people are in the pool, the buoyancy of the water supports their body weight. And some young people who are not actively mobile on land can be active in the pool with some facilitation or assistance from adults. The pool is nice and warm, so it helps their circulation as well and helps to relax any muscle spasm or tension.
So what's it like working there?
Personally, I love working in the Royal Blind School because I love working with the young people that we have here. The families are absolutely amazing. They all have their challenges and it's working together to meet those challenges and overcome them. It's a very positive place to work.
Physiotherapist Sarah Fleming there. Now, some of the pupils have difficulties with their speech communication, and that's where Heather Robertson, a speech and language therapist, comes in. She tells us about her part in school life.
The work's very varied. Speech and language therapists work with children, young people who have got communication difficulties, some that will have difficulties with understanding and developing language, spoken communication as well. In fact, a lot of the work that I do isn't to do with speech at all, actually. It's to do with providing alternative and augmentative ways of communicating so that young people can get their message across in whatever way possible. We have something called a total communication approach within the school. So we use a mixture of strategies. We use sign language, particularly Kanin-Bari signing, which was developed here at the Royal Blind School. It's adapted to be on-body due to the children's visual impairments. We link in with KECOM in the City of Edinburgh, provide communication aids for our children and young people called Step by Steps, which can be used for a range of reasons. For example, to participate in a story by programme the tagline onto the story, and the young person, if they've got no speech, they could maybe just press the button and they'll be able to participate with the tagline in the story. They may be able to convey the news about what's happened to them at home the night before or down in residential the night before, and they'll do that in situations like circle time, group time. Another huge part of our role is managing eating and drinking difficulties. Many of the children that come to the Royal Blind School also have complex physical needs, conditions like cerebral palsy, and often going along with this is difficulties with eating and drinking. So speech and language therapists are responsible for assessing and advising on how to, for example, modify textures to make eating and drinking as safe as possible.
That's speech and language therapist Heather Robertson talking about her work at the Royal Blind School. Our final student is Andrew, who, along with a visual impairment, has hearing loss too. So what does he think about being a student at the school?
I really enjoy being a part of the school. There's a really strong feeling of community. I've had experiences in mainstream and I much prefer Royal Blind School because, like, when you're in class, there's fewer pupils, so you get better access to the teacher and you can ask questions, and there's not enough pupils to make you feel shy. And the support is just really great and how people help you to feel independent as well as knowing that they're there for you.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that Andrew obviously enjoys the academic side of things, but apart from being a keen member of the chess club, he's also an award-winning poet.
To be honest, I'm not sure how I got into it because I was never much into reading poetry. I just like the sort of freedom that you get from it. Then I wrote one about Louis Braille, war poems, for my National 5 course last year. And recently I won a competition called the Foyles Young Poets of the Year Award for my poem about a seagull pooping on somebody's head.
And here is Andrew reading one of his poems, and you'll be glad to know there's not a seagull in sight, but instead a tribute to Louis Braille.
Who is my hero? I did know not yesterday. However, now I am certain that this hero will forever stay. Though I've never met him, he made my path clear, a path to secession, a path that will always be there. Though troubled times break my heart, snuffs out my inner candle, when my eyesight and my hearing are far too much to handle. Then the light flickers, the sun shines once again, and the joys of reading and writing will always make me sustain. Though I have courage, though I have imagination, sometimes it proves hard to keep my determination. Still my hero calls me, still I follow in his tracks. He makes the barriers fewer as the knowledge stacks. I write my tales, I write my songs, to encourage my friends, my family, to help them get along. By friend and by family, I mean it true in mind. By friend and by family, I mean the fighting blind. Though some I have not met, I will never truly forget that we're going through the same with no clear accusation of blame. We fight for independence, we fight to kill the tenseness that, like a flame, always grew, the tension between us blind incited you. A love for freedom, a love for books, a desire for inner self and not a care for looks. Never mind the clothing, never mind their disability, just remember their mind or their lovely personality. For without dislike in our veins, then no changing in our brains, no war, no fight, no difference like no sight. And through the struggle, we must make the rest realise that we're all the same, gender, colour, ears or eyes. And who is my hero? The hero I followed in his trail. A man who was both kind and wise, a man who had only three lost his eyes, is without doubt, without question, without a lingering stop or hesitation, Louis Braille.
A poet laureate in the making, possibly? Well, as we've heard, some of the pupils stay on campus, and Andrew is certainly looking forward to the independence of having his own room.
Well, I've got my own room, which is good, because I was worried about listening to people snoring. But I think it's going to be good, and like more of a chance to be independent and look after myself. Although I hope nobody lets me at the cooker just yet, as I'm terrible at cooking.
I know what you mean, Andrew. I'm no Jamie Oliver either, and hey, I can burn water. So, where does he see himself going after he leaves the school?
Well, I hope to study at Strathclyde University and study English and History or a joint course of journalism. So I would like to be an author and possibly a journalist.
Now, Lewis, better watch out. If he becomes a politician, then Andrew may be writing stories about him. Well, the final bell has now rung on our visit to the Royal Blind School in Edinburgh. And if you would like to find out more about the school, head teacher Elaine Brackenridge has the details.
So I hope you've learned a lot about the Royal Blind School today. I hope you found it informative and that you've enjoyed hearing about the range of activities and education that we provide here at the Royal Blind School. If you would like to hear more, or if you would like more information, please feel free to contact us at www.royalblind.org/education.
I'd just like to finish by saying a big thank you to the staff and the pupils at the Royal Blind School in Edinburgh for giving up their time to talk to us. And a very special thanks to the parents of Amy Moore, a former pupil, for letting us use their daughter's composition, Letter to Louis.